This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, good morning. Time for another week of great golf talk here on Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears. I've got Bill Berger with me here in the studio today. Our good friend Ed Stevenson has a family commitment, so he has the week off, but he did want us to remind everyone, if you're planning on playing in the DuPage Amateur that is coming up next weekend with some play at both Maple Meadows and the Preserve at Oak Meadows, deadline to register is midnight tonight, so make sure if you're going to play, you get signed up today. Also, we're really thrilled to have with us on the line our fourth member of Chicago's favorite foursome. He's live at Sand Valley today, of all places. We're all jealous. It's Len Zien. Len, how are you?
Well, I tell you, we had quite an adventure getting here yesterday. We were in the Chicago area for the Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities outing, just a wonderful event over at Twin Orchard. But the drive down here was a nightmare. We had storms and fog, and on route, it's only about a 3-hour drive. But we had to cancel our tee time, but it was a weird. We had to be forced off the road a couple times because it was very foggy and heavy rain, and unfortunately we couldn't play our first round here yesterday afternoon, even though once we arrived all the tee times were pushed back over 2 hours, and we just didn't have the time to do it. So we're looking forward to playing the regular Sand Valley 18 hole course today and the Sandbox tomorrow, and those are the two courses here we didn't play in a past visit. So it's going to be fun, but boy, yesterday was pretty hairy day.
Well, Len, I got to tell you, I have been informed. I have an anonymous source that tells me that there was probably a wild celebration this past week, and we have to wish a happy birthday to our very own Bill Berger, and who celebrated this week. So happy birthday a few days late, Billy, but I'm sure a good time was had by all.
Hey, thanks for remembering. But
you only turned 29 once, you know.
Len, thank you. That's pretty nice. Well, the one thing about old age or something, or young age or whatever you want to call it, it's there. Whether you like it or not, it gets there,
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, obviously the Open Championship, or the British Open, depending on how you call it, is often running, and most of the players are out on the golf course, except for the last couple of twosomes. Cameron Smith and Cameron Young will be out last, and right in front of them will be Rory McIlroy and Victor Hovland. So should be an exciting day of golf. Also, Shane Lowry, another past champion, has snuck into the picture, 5 under par today through 11 holes. So he is right there, only a few shots back, and he's now tied with Dustin Johnson. Also, Tommy Fleetwood has moved into the mix. He's 5 under through 15 today. So obviously, there's low numbers are possible today. We'll have to see which player makes the most of moving day here on Saturday, Lenny.
Yeah, I tell you, I really like that Hovland McIlroy pairing. I mean, you'd think the winner would come out of that one. But Dustin Johnson's due, too. It's good to see him back in the hunt. He's not had the greatest year. It sounds like I'm writing off the Smith and Young players up in the top there, and I guess I am because you know, I don't know enough about them, and they're pretty much unproven in a competition like this. But this is a very interesting British Open, and I tell you, the weather they got, we're going to see some real low scores today because this is ideal weather for them. They all seem to be going for it on moving day, and that's what's supposed to happen.
Well, July is tournament time here, really. A lot of it is crammed into this month up here in Illinois. And also this week over at my host course, Heritage Oaks in Northbrook, we had two USGA qualifiers on Wednesday. In the morning, it was the men for the U.S. Senior Amateur. And one member of the field was former Blackhawks general manager, broadcaster, player, Dale Tallon. And unfortunately, Dale missed by a few shots of qualifying into the championship. But in the afternoon, it was great to see Conway Farms teaching professional Jamie Fisher, who was in the last group, grab the last spot coming in, and she will be headed back to her hometown of Dayton, Ohio, to play in the U.S. Senior Women's Open at NCR Country Club there. And she'll be joining Nicole Giray from Mistwood, who is already in the field. And also grabbing a spot out of the Heritage Oaks qualifier was Audra Burks, who's from Springfield, Illinois. So there will be some Illinois representation at the U.S. Senior Women's Open. And, Lenny, that's really good to see.
Well, it really is. I tell you, those two are really the primary women golfers out of the Chicago area now. I mean, Elizabeth Zocal from Winnetka was had a great season on the LPGA Tour last year, but she's had some problems. I don't know quite what they all are, but has barely played this season. So those two on the senior ranks are they're kind of carrying the ball for Illinois women's golf right now.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to hear from Susan Buchanan, the president of the Women's Western Golf Association, as the Women's Western Amateur tees off at Sunset Ridge this week on Tuesday. Defending champion Marissa Wensler is back in the field, so we'll see if she can be the first player in that championship going all the way back into the 1990s to repeat as a champion. We'll hear from Rich Tock up at Erin Hills. Erin Hills had the USGA mid-amateur media day this week, so a lot of things happening up there as they get ready for tournament week at Erin Hills. Also, we had the media day for the Western Amateur this week over at Exmoor, and the course is in absolutely outstanding condition, and I had the opportunity to golf with Superintendent Tim Green, who really, he and his team have done a wonderful job of getting that golf course ready for the Western Am coming up in a few weeks. And if you're looking to see local golf, the Illinois Open, August 1, 2, and 3 at White Eagle, and then the Western Amateur is August 2 through 6, kind of the same week there. Over at Exmoor. So with that, we are going to take our first break, and we'll be back to hear more about the Women's Western Golf Association right after this. The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit kleincreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app. All right, it is 10:11. It's Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger here in studio. Len Zeem joins us live from Sand Valley. And we have some great golf in town this week. And, of course, first off, there's the state amateur going to be held over at Westmoreland Country Club. But not far down the road over at Sunset Ridge Country Club, we have a real one of the great women's championships of all time. It's got a great historical run to it and a lot of excitement last year. It ended in a playoff at Park Ridge Country Club. And this year, well, we'll see what happens over at Sunset Ridge in Northfield. And joining us is Women's Western Golf Association President Susan Buchanan. Susan, how are you this morning?
I am doing super. We are getting all set up.
Well, I know that you and your team and the board over there and everybody else that's pitching in, volunteers from the club, are probably getting the signs up and getting ready to welcome all the players as they arrive at the club probably today and tomorrow.
Exactly. There's beginning to get a buzz around the golf course of great women coming to play.
Well, Susan, tell us a little bit about the championship. And we know that you you have your defending champion, Marissa Wensler, from Dayton, Ohio, back in the field. So I'm sure there's going to be some great competition.
Absolutely. We have a very strong field this year. We also have the runner-up from last year, Madison Touchard from Oklahoma State via Perth, Australia. And we have 13 countries represented, 27 states, and we have a very strong field.
Well, I know that the competition gets really heated out there as people fight for those spots. And Susan, tell us, because you've got a switch in the format, you've got a couple of days of stroke play, and then you got to fight your way to get into match play and then fight your way through those matches.
Exactly. We start off on Sunday with a co-am with the membership here at Sunset Ridge, and the girls get to play with them and learn the course. And then we have the official practice round on Monday, starting with 2 days of stroke play, and then we cut it to the top 32 for match play.
Well, Len Zeem is on the line with us live from Sand Valley. And Len, why don't you jump in here? I know that this is a championship that you've covered for years.
Yeah, I sure have. I tell you, I think the first one was about 1976, Jane Bast and Sherry Booth back at Flossmoor Country Club. I saw a lot of those events, but, you know, I'm interested in more of the history stuff. You've had some great champions in that tournament over the years, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at our trophy, it's just amazing some of the women that have come through this organization. It is, it's just breathtaking.
Well, Leonard, Susan,
the women's camp. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's been a long time since we've had a repeat champion, and I want to say Meredith Duncan back in the 1990s, if I'm correct with that one, Lenny or Susan, can you help me out there?
Yes, she did win back-to-back, as did Nancy Lopez. So we've had some strong players.
Susan, you know what? Tell us a little bit about the golf course. I know golf fans got a chance to see Sunset Reg maybe about 4 or 5 years ago or so when Cole Hammer won the Western Amateur there. So it's got to be a great feeling to let the ladies get out and enjoy it. But I know they've done some renovation work to the golf course since the Western Amateur. What can you tell us about Sunset Ridge?
Sunset Ridge is in fantastic shape. The greens are running so smooth and quick. It's just going to be a great test for these women.
Well, I can remember Sunset Ridge with fond affection because that was the site of my very first Western Open covering for the Chicago Sun-Times back in 1972 when Jim Jameson won wire to wire. So I'm sure you'll have a great tournament over there.
I think we will, and we want to encourage all the listeners to come out and watch some super golf and walk a beautiful golf course.
Susan, did you and everybody on your board and everything spend shall we say a lot of time you know a little bit what goes into all of the setup to run a historical championship like this, especially one that's over 100 years old?
Yeah, we are going to have close to 20 board members come through, and we also have a partnership with the Western, so they handle all of our entries and scorings and pairings. And anyway, we just have a well-oiled machine. We have scoreboard people. We have rules people. We have PR people. It is just a very well-oiled machine.
Well, Susan, I know that it takes a good team to put on a championship like this and make it work. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about the couple of the closing holes over there, because you know when you play two formats, you know some courses get a reputation for being a great stroke play course. Some get a reputation for being a great match play course. How is Sunset Ridge going to hold up under both formats?
Unbelievably well. The stroke play, it's going to make it finish two really difficult finishing holes. And then match play, we change the tees around. We change the hole locations around. So it's going to be very exciting in both formats.
Lenny, go ahead. Jump in if you've got something else for Susan here.
Well, is there, you know, we know about the top two players from last year coming back. Do you have some other players who would be Luma's real serious contenders? Especially, I'm wondering if there are some from the Chicago area who might have a chance in this one.
There, we do have quite a few from the Chicago area, but our top ranked player is Kirsten Rugley from Perth, Australia. And she is not a college golfer. It's going to be exciting to watch her as well.
All right, it's 10:18. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears with Bill Berger in studio. Len Zeem is on the line with us from Sand Valley, and we're talking for a few minutes with Susan Buchanan, the president of the Women's Western Golf Association, as they prepare for this week's Women's Western Amateur over at Sunset Ridge Country Club in Northfield. And, of course, the public is invited to come out and enjoy the tournament. Susan, give us a little history on the Women's Western Golf Association. You recently had a really exciting and successful Junior Girls Championship a couple of weeks ago down at Prestwick. And I know that the Women's Western Group has also got some other events and activities that it puts on that are really exciting for people who enjoy golf.
Absolutely. We did have our junior down at Prestwick. And what was unique about that, it was the 50th anniversary of Nancy Lopez winning there. And she wrote a letter to all the entrants and the participants that was really spectacular. We had a playoff in the final match, and Jessica Mason from Colorado made about a 35-foot putt to win the tournament. And she is in our field here as well.
Susan, I got to ask you, she got into the final match there against Lisa Copeland, who's from Naperville here. And it must have been interesting for everybody out there and yourself and the ladies of the WWGA to watch a young lady who won your championship talk about going off to college while the runner-up was talking about starting high school this fall.
Exactly. Lisa Copeland was a fantastic participant, 14 years old, made it to the finals, and really played her heart out. So it was, I told her she's got a great future. I think she's at the U.S. Girls this week, so it's exciting for her. But what is most exciting to me is this is 123 straight years of the women's Western Amateur without interruption.
So, Susan, like some of the other historical tournaments that have been around for a long time that maybe weren't held for a few years, either A, during World War One or World War II, you've been able to keep the championship going.
Absolutely. One of the most challenging times in my era was the COVID year in 2021, but we were able to do it and do it well.
Okay. Susan, well, any final information for our listeners about this week's championship and if they're heading out to Sunset Ridge to watch these young ladies play some great golf?
You know, I always find it kind of interesting. I don't know the answer to this, but I've always find it interesting with the amateur tournaments, especially this one, the difference in age range. I mean, you've got, I imagine you've got some good mid-amateurs as well as some early teen players, right? Is there a kind of a sharp contrast there in your field?
We definitely do. We have a player that is 65 years old. We have a player that is 17 years old, and it's everywhere in between.
Wow.
Wow, that sounds like quite a field there, and we're going to see a variety of different styles of golf played. Susan, again, finally, any final details for the listeners if they're coming out to Sunset Ridge to watch the championship this week?
Absolutely. Plan on figuring out a place to park other than the course. We're going to have some shuttles from the local high schools because parking is very tight here. And just plan on walking a beautiful course and watching some fantastic golf.
Okay. Well, Susan Buchanan, president of the Women's Western Golf Association, thanks for taking a few minutes this morning to join us here on Golfers on Golf Radio. And we'll let you get back to getting the final preparations pulled together for this week's tournament. And here's to a successful week for everyone there.
Well, thank you, Rory. And I do want to make a shout-out for 2023. We're going to be at the Florida Eagle Golf Club in Naperville for our amateur July 17th through the 22nd of 2023. We're excited about that as well. We're always looking forward as we are looking right ahead.
Okay, real good. White Eagle Golf Club at Naperville for 2023. Always good to know. And a bunch of great people out there, the golf staff headed up by Director of Golf Curtis Malm, and he and the membership always support great championships, and I know that'll be a lot of fun. Susan, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you at Sunset Ridge this week.
Sounds great, Rory. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right, it is 10:23, and just taking a look here at the British Open or the Open Championship, depending on how you call it. And Billy, what do you call it? Is it the British Open to you, or is it the Open Championship?
You know, I you sound like you like the side of the British Open. So you know what? For once, I agree with you. You know, I mean. The Open is kind of, over the top, and I know it's the oldest and it's a different style of golf. And so they have really made it into Link style of golf the way I flipped it on early in the morning, and Lowry was coming out of about five inches of rough, and he made a, you know, I don't know how long, a 20, 30-yard chip pitch shot, chip and run. It looked like it ran for a half hour, and he holed it. He started out, I don't know if it was the first or second hole, but it's a different thing of golf. I know playing with foreign players way back, there weren't too many good wedge players in those days because they, you know, they played the chip and run shot so much, and they sure have changed it around. They're as good as we are at anything, including the wedge shot. So,
have you played in Scotland or Ireland?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's it like to get out of those sidewall bunkers?
You know what? The only thing that I'm not criticizing it. The bad thing about it is if you're unlucky enough to get up against one of those walled dugout deep bunkers, you can't get out. You can't make a shot. And I'm not for hitting a ball backwards. You know what I mean?
Or sideways?
Or sideways. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's kind of a luck. Luck moves in more. You know, so. If you're tied with the guy in match play or you're in a metal play, you're pretty even, and he's back where he can make the bunker shot, swing and get it out, and you can't, then I'm not so sure that's fair. Maybe it is. In the bunker, what? Who was it, Bobby Jones, back in the 20s when it took him five or six to get out? I think he quit. I think he picked his ball up and went home.
Well, Len, what are your observations from the third round here? It seems like there's several players who are moving on moving day.
Yeah, I tell you, this is it's a day where Jack Nicklaus, I remember just recently, he said he was surprised, looking back from his early days playing at St. Andrews, that this course would still be able to hold up to the challenges of the players today. And it really has. I haven't been to play golf in Europe. I wish I had. But it's interesting to always look at the British Open and see wherever it's being played. It comes on the air on broadcastings here at odd hours when you wouldn't normally see a golf tournament live. It always looks different. You have lots of this link-style golf, which I'm going to see this afternoon here at Sand Valley. We don't have much link-style golf, certainly not like this kind of golf in the United States. So, you know, it's always it's the last of this year's majors, of course. Unfortunately, FedEx Cup isn't considered a major, but it's pretty darn big competition coming up after this. But this is a special week in golf every year, and I think this is going to be one of the best British Opens we've had in a few years.
Well, it seems really exciting. One of the things that I think surprised a lot of people yesterday is defending champion Colin Morikawa actually ended up missing the cut. So I think people were expecting him to do much better than he did. So, if you're just joining us or you haven't had a chance to watch the coverage this morning, leader Cameron Smith has just made a bogey on the first hole. So he's already fallen back a shot and only has a one-shot lead over Dustin Johnson and Cameron Young. Victor Hovland and Rory McIlroy both parred the first hole. So five players there within two shots. It's going to be really exciting today. With that, we're going to take our second break, and we're going to be back to talk a little Lynx-y style golf and what's happening at Aaron Hill's up in Aaron, Wisconsin with our good friend Rich Talk right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit KleinCreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms. Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks is not only a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse complete with a stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the new simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology. So if you like to get all of your stats and numbers that you need to know about your game, you can do so now with the help of TrackMan. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole golf facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351. Or online, visit heritageoaksgc.com.
All right, 10:32, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, Bill Berger in the studio. Len Ziem is on the line today, live from Sand Valley up in Wisconsin. And you heard our spot for Heritage Oaks. And for everybody there yesterday, a pretty special day. Since the Blackhawks don't get it done anymore, it was nice that Northbrook native JT Comper, a member of the Colorado Avalanche, held his Stanley Cup party over at the golf course yesterday. It's too bad the rain sort of wiped out the golf outing, but a couple hundred people enjoying their time with the cup yesterday at Heritage Oaks. Pretty special event and really nice time, and was glad to be a part of that. And it was nice to see Lord Stanley in town and out at one of our clubs. And you know what? Another place where we're going to have a championship this year, a USGA championship, is Aaron Hills in Aaron, Wisconsin. And we're always thrilled to welcome back our friend of the program, Rich Talk. Rich, how are you this morning?
Morning, Rory. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, Rich, you not only survived a round of golf with me, but I understand that there was a big birthday party for you this week as well. We've been celebrating Billy Berger's birthday, but you were on the calendar as well. And as Len Ziem would tell you, it's always good to be 29, isn't it?
Well, I wish it was 29, but yeah, at 72 years of age, and this is my 50th year in the golf business, I think I'm going to probably hang it up, or mostly hang it up, at the end of this season. I'm going to host the mid-amateur, as you know, in September. So that'll be my third USGA championship in 13 years at Aaron Hills. Looking forward to it. and I'm kind of looking forward to a little bit of a semi-retirement. So I'll play more golf with you, Rory.
Yeah, that's, stick around.
Yeah, stick around. You know what? Rich told us he was, you know, in about 2015, he said he was going to retire after the 2017 U.S. Open. And the great news is he's still at Erin Hills. And, Rich, Erin Hills would never be the same without you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, but it's been a great place to work. We've got a great owner. The USJ has been awesome to work with. And, you know, after 2025, we're going to host the Women's U.S. Open. That'll be our fifth championship in just 20 years of existence at Erin Hills. It's pretty incredible what's happened in just 20 years. But, yeah, I was supposed to retire 5 years ago, and somehow that didn't happen. But it's been a great run for me. I still enjoy it. Every day I still enjoy it. Enjoy chatting with you guys. And, Rory, we had a great round the other day with Matt and Eric from Baird and American Family. That was a good day.
Yeah, it sure was a lot of fun. Hey, Rich, Len Ziem's up in your direction. He's in Wisconsin. Lenny, what do you got for Rich this morning?
Well, I tell you, I hope you didn't get hit so too hard yesterday by the rains that hit me driving over here. We had did you get hit pretty bad with it? We drove
we had some real bad stuff on the way here. For about 5 hours, we probably had a total of 3 inches at Erin Hills. Some guys went out in it because there was no lightning, just hard rain. But then it quit about 11:15, and in 40 minutes, our golf courses dried up, and away they went the rest of the day. They were still teeing off at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I saw them go. So
well,
it affected us a little bit.
Daylight out there. Did they play here? They were playing here at 9 o'clock. In the evening last night, before it was all said and done. So, pretty exciting stuff. I just hope it stays this nice and clear today.
Well, that's what golfers do. We're not very smart. We play in the dark. We play in the snow and the rain. But that's, you know, that's the sport. We love it. It's a good sport. And, you know, the other thing, the golf simulators now has really turned it into a 12-month season for a lot of people in the north, which is pretty cool. People can hit some balls and practice, and, you know, indoor ranges now are popping up everywhere, and you don't really have to go to Florida or Texas or Phoenix to play golf in the winter. And then next thing you know, come March, we're back on the links. Not too bad.
Hey, Rich, do you have any simulators at Erin Hills? And I know some of the clubs that got them down here and people are using them all winter long, and they always say, well, you can go play this course or that course, but I haven't seen Erin Hills listed on too many of these simulator lists. Has Erin Hills made any deals to get Erin Hills out there and into some of these simulator programs?
We have not. I tried to do that about 8 years ago when simulators were just in the embryo stages of hitting the market. I thought it would be a great thing, but my owner didn't think so. So that argument ended in his favor. So we don't have Erin Hills on any simulators around the world. And we should really, because, you know, people love playing bucket list golf courses on those simulators. We all know that they're playing St. Andrews and Muirfield and Pebble Beach and all these fantastic courses. And they're pretty real. I mean, they really are good. So maybe someday I'll talk them into getting them on the simulators. Because I've seen it. People have measured it and done everything. We've just not signed any deals yet with anyone.
Well, Rich, I know that from my trips over the years to Erin Hills that, you know, you guys are always, there's a little tinkering going on here or there, whether it's on the golf course, off the golf course. It might be a new cottage. It might be some improvements over at the pub or the driving range, a fantastic new large putting green, the Drumlin putting green that I know that you were very involved with. So, What are some of the things that have been done at Erin Hills in the last year or so if people haven't been back up there?
Well, the Drumlin is probably the number one. You know, it's an acre and a half putting green. And, I mean, it's lit up till midnight during the night. And it's just a great thing to do after dinner, before dinner, into the night. People have a lot of fun. Those that like to gamble a little bit, trying to get their money back from what they lost on the golf course. So that's been a real hit. We've not really planned on putting a par three course in yet. I'd like to put a par three course in. I think we really need one, you know, my 13 holes and go that route, but we have not made that decision. And because of COVID, we kind of put a hold on a couple of the projects. You know, we're probably going to build another cottage or two, and we might tweak a green or two in preparation of the Women's Open. Nothing has been confirmed, but the golf course is tough enough. We really don't need to do too much, that's for sure. But we're always, you know, we changed our fairways from fescue over to bent grass a couple of years ago, and that was a great move because, as you know, Rory, you played it on Tuesday, that, I mean, the fairways are in perfect condition. The golf course is really in excellent condition. The greens are running about 11.5 every day. The bunkers are masterpieces, but the fairways now, there's no bare spots. Fescue is just a challenge in the Midwest. It's a coastal grass, and it's great in Oregon and Long Island, but it's just not very good for here when it's 0 degrees in the wintertime. So that's probably our main improvement for those that have not been there in the last couple of years. But for the mid-amateur, you know, September 10th to the 15th, I believe is the dates, you know, that's going to be a nice tournament. You have to be 25 years and older. So it eliminates all the college kids, and that's really what the intent was for this tournament. But they're all still great players. Some of them tried to play the tour, maybe didn't make it, played great college golf, and then went and got a job. So that'll be a terrific championship. And as I understand, I think you were there, Rory, that I think didn't Bill McCarthy say that the entries into this event will be the largest they've ever had in the history of the tournament in terms of trying to qualify, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe that. I know that the USGA, you know, the two finalists get a spot over at the Masters, and now the USGA putting the mid-amateur champion into the field at the U.S. Open has really increased the entries, and a lot of guys, that's some great incentive. Wouldn't you say, Billy, you'd like to go play in an amateur tournament, and if you win, then you get to go play in the U.S. Open?
Yeah, that would be a real neat deal to, you know, and I'm sure, like you say, Rich, they get a lot more entries and a lot of people trying. But I know I think I've told you this once before, and I know how advice is. Everybody's good at advice, but that putting green you got, you got to put the sign up and rename it to get even worse. This is the get even worse putting green. and getting back to simulators, let me give you some advice on that. You know, you sound like pretty busy. I did some club jobs myself, and I know you will take this advice. You don't need to have a simulators on the off season in January, February. You need a little time off. You know what I mean? So that owner you got might be smarter than you think. You know, by not putting the simulators in, I would have to shake. I meet him, I'd have to shake his hand. You know, so yeah, you could use those minutes off in January and February. You know.
So, well, after this year, I'm going to get a lot of minutes off. I feel like about 10 or 15 years off.
Okay. hey, Rich, come on. You got to come join and down and join Len Zeem and I at the PGA show in Orlando, Florida, come January. That's what you need to do. Get out of Wisconsin's cold weather.
I've gone there.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, I've not been to Florida. First year was COVID, and so there wasn't a lot of action down there. And then last year, I ended up going to Palm Springs for a couple months, and worked from out there, mostly played golf, a little bit of work.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. But, Billy, you're right. Simulators do keep you busy in the wintertime, maybe when you don't want to be, and Saturday morning you'd like to go have breakfast with your son or your daughter or your wife.
Right.
But it's really increased the game of golf. I mean, golf, as you know, is so popular right now. And Lynn, you're up in Sand Valley, I think I heard you say earlier, but I mean, that place is booming. They got two golf courses about to open a third, which is the Lido, a private club, and then they're going to open the fourth next fall. And then I think I read where they're going to build a six-acre putting green. Ours is an acre and a half. 6 acres. I'm not even sure how big 6 acres is. It's huge. That's like an entire fairway.
The putting green.
Rich, they'll be able to put all 300 players from the Mid-Am out on the putting green at once.
Well, yeah, you would be able to. You know, that's the nice thing about the Mid-Am. If people are golf crazy, there's no ropes. You can walk right on the fairway, right behind these players, stand almost right next to them on the tee and the putting green, and really see some great golf. And of course, it's a great opportunity to see Erin Hills for those that maybe can't play it because it's an 8-mile walk. It's a super opportunity to come on and really see the golf course, but see some great golf. I mean, these guys can really play, as you know. And it might not be a name player, or at least not a name player yet, but they may be. So that's pretty exciting. We're looking forward to it. And then our sister course is going to host the qualifying on the first 2 days of stroke play, which is Blue Mountain Country Club. And they have a lot of history themselves with hosting the PGA Championship and way back in the 20s and 30s. So we're looking forward to the Mid-Am. And I know our superintendent is, but he's got the course perfect. You saw it, Roy. It's in great shape.
Yeah, it sure is. It's 10:45, Golfers on Golf Radio, Rory Spears, Bill Berger in studio. We're talking for a few minutes with Rich Tock, the PGA ambassador of Erin Hills. And we've got another member of our foursome up in Wisconsin. It's Len Ziem. He's over at Sand Valley today. And Lenny, what else you got for Rich here?
Well, I tell you, Rich has got everything covered. I really respect all the things he's you've been doing there at Erin Hills. I just wonder where what's going on, what's going to come up next. I mean, you've kind of alluded to some of that stuff, but I don't know how the simulators would work so well over at Erin Hills. I mean, you've got everything in place right now. You don't want to tinker with something that's really working.
You know, Rory, you asked me about what's going on next. So we are doing some tinkering. The original barn to the property, 1908, which has been mostly just a storage barn and a working barn. We have our carts in the bottom and ice machines and bottled water and a range ball washer and that kind of stuff. But in the top level, it was mostly just storage. But we are now redoing the entire top level for our employees, caddies, employees, everyone, to go down there. There'll be vending machines, and there'll be a pool table and big couches and chairs and big screen TVs, massage chair and all that kind of stuff. And then maybe down the road, maybe even this fall, we'll open it up in the evening for our guests to come over and shoot some pool, maybe play darts, shuffleboard. And so that's kind of our new thing, and that'll be opened about mid-August, so another month. That's probably long overdue, in my opinion, but we got it. And now it's going to be another addition to Erin Hills and a place to have some fun, smoke a cigar and sip on a scotch and talk stupid. You know, that's what guys do. We're all good at that. So then... And you might as well join us. You know, Lynn, you fit right in with that.
Stupid, maybe.
Yeah, the stupid part, huh?
But well, Rich,
being out of Chicago, Chicago is our biggest market. We get so many players up from the suburbs and the city itself. It's a two-hour drive. So we really appreciate, and I thank all those that are listening and that come up and visit us in Erin Hills. And we hope to see you during the mid-amateur. Come up and watch a little golf, and then book it for next year. Yeah, Kohler, Sand Valley, us, we're all booking for 2023, and the times and the cottages and stuff are filling up in the state of Wisconsin. It's crazy. People are coming from all over the world now because of the Ryder Cup that was held at Whistling Straits. The state of Wisconsin for 6 months, the other 6 months, not so good, but the 6 months that were nice, we're playing a lot of golf.
Yeah, well, you know what? People got to have something to do in Wisconsin other than sit out in the cold and watch Packer football. But, you know, Rich, I got to tell you that, you know, Erin Hills has two of the great summer golf beverages that if you enjoy a beverage after golf or the night before you play, the Fescue Rescue drink, so fittingly named for Erin Hills, and, of course, Erin Hills Pilsner beer. You know, it's outstanding to those two things, and real easy to sit back after a round of golf in Erin Hills and enjoy some of those. Hey, Rich, when are you going to add kind of a home-brewed beverage there again to the drink list?
Well, I know Rory bought a case of the Erin Hills Pilsner for Christmas. He's going to give it to some friends, and he gets home one night, and kids are out there, and the next morning they all said, "Geez, Dad, that was a great beer." And he said, "What do you mean?" "Well, that Erin Hills Pilsner beer." And he said, "Well, who was drinking it?" He said, "Well, we all were." He said, "Until we ran out." And Rory said,
yeah, good friend of mine. I gave some of that to a good friend of mine who I knew would enjoy it, and his daughter got home from college, and the other one came in to visit, and the boyfriends were there, and he never got one drop. They drank up his entire six pack. It just went away just like that. It was so good. So yeah, it's a great beverage to enjoy when you get up to Erin Hills. Lenny, any final questions for Rich before we get ready to wrap it up with him?
Well, all I got to say is I can't get over the size of that putting green. I haven't been there since that opened up. I've got to make that. I'm very curious as to how those things work out. These putting courses seem to get bigger and bigger. I just wonder how big they can ever get. I've played a few other places where they've put those in, and I'm astonished by how many of are wanting these really big putting courses. Yours is maybe one of the very biggest.
Well, I think it's the biggest. It's bigger than Pinehurst. I know it's bigger than Kohler's. Yeah. Has a lot of undulations, a little kidney shape, but it gets a lot of use. And the women, we don't get a lot of kids that play Erin Hills, but those that do, they're on that putting green all the time. And even the tournament we hold for the high school kids to raise money for the MAC fund. After golf,
yeah,
they went out on that putting green until dark. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to do. You know how we did the same thing when we were kids, except our putting green was only the size of your garage.
Yeah.
We just wore out everything right next to the cups by standing there. At least I did. But you know, there it's you ought to stop on the way home from Sand Valley. You kind of go right by it. It's not that far out of your way. But if you don't,
and
you should bring. I know Rory wants to come back up sometime this fall, so I'm going to get him up. And
yeah,
Rory and your guys, you'll probably be up for the mid-am, won't you?
We'll definitely have to come up and watch some of that. So anyway, Rich, final details. Give us the dates on the. On the mid-am, and I know Erin Hills such a popular place. Do you got any tee times and overnight rooms left yet for this year?
We have very few overnight rooms, I'm sorry to say. But tee times, we still have a few, not many at all. You have to almost squeeze. There's days that we're sold out. But we have a starter time here and there. And my owner, we keep a time for him. He decides he wants to come up and play 18 holes or maybe 9 holes. So we keep that open, and if we find out he's not going to play, we give that away. But the dates for the mid-am, the September 10th and 11th, are the two stroke play rounds. So they have to 36-hole qualifying to get into the 64 match play, which would then start on the 12th. So they're going to play Blue Mountain 18 holes, Erin Hills 18 holes, which are two totally different golf courses. You know, one will be playing about 7,400 yards, and the other one's going to play about 6,700 yards. But the greens are diabolical at Blue Mound, and they're going to be lightning fast. I guarantee you there'll be about a 14. that's what they were for the state open. Our greens won't be quite that fast, but as I told you before, Curtis Strange said they were the best greens he'd seen in 40 U.S. Opens back in 2017.
Wow.
So, and that's what really golf's all about. You know, we can handle tees that are a little bit worn, but we like good fairways and good greens, and that's what all golfers like, all your listeners, that's what they like. So I hope to see them. They can come in. My office is right in the golf shop. Just come in and say hi and say your friends are Rory and Lynn and
Rich will buy you a beer. So,
and I'll probably buy you a beer. That's probably right.
There you go. Hey, Rich Talk, thanks so much for joining us. Time flies when we're having fun, and it's always great talking about Erin Hills. Yeah. And book your tee times, erinhills.com, and give him a shout, and get in there this year, and if not, get up and see him next year. Rich, we will talk to you soon, and with that, we're going to take our final break and hear from our friends at DuPage Golf, and then we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
All right, it is 10:55. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. And, yeah, time does fly when we're having fun. Always good to get and talk to Rich Talk up at Erin Hills. Always some great stories about all the golf and activities happening up there. And, Len Zeem, I know you're starting to get ready to get a tee time here this afternoon over at Sand Valley. Any final thoughts or mentions this week as we also get ready for the tournaments here in Chicago, the Women's Western Amateur at Sunset Ridge and, of course, the Illinois State Amateur over at Westmoreland?
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward. We're going from here back to Chicago for not quite 2 weeks. Before then, we're going to go to Florida and have some plans to come back our way in September. But I'm really looking forward to the Illinois State Amateur. I'm going to get over there for some of that. And I noticed an interesting fact today that it's at Westmoreland, and this is the first time in its over 90-year history that tournament has been played on the North Shore. I found that almost hard to believe, but that's what the CDGA put out in its preview release. So that's good. That's always a good tournament, though. That's always a good tournament. It's got a very dramatic final day when they play 36 holes. So that's I think, the highlight of the week. We'll have all the local players, the top local amateurs in that one, and something that I've been looking forward to for quite a while.
All righty. And Bill Berger, are you going to pull yourself away from Bill's Pizza, Jake's on Grand, and get out and play a little golf this week?
I think so. We're going to, you know, try to play a little golf. It's been a little hard to do this summer than normal, you know, and everybody's fighting to scrape up help in every business or anything I run into, anybody, you know, you can have a job. I'll get you a job tomorrow. You know, you name it. Everybody's looking for help. So I'm going to play some golf this week.
Yeah. Yeah. It's supposed to warm up a little bit. Should dry up the golf courses just in time for Len Zeem to get back here and want to tee it up.
You betcha. You betcha. We'll find a golf course. I know I've got one round planning this week over at the Glen, and there's time to play some more this week if I'm going to do any playing. I mean, I'm doing a lot of playing on the road, but not the good Chicago courses. So got to find a way to get some of those rounds in.
Okay, well, real good. Well, golf fans, first off, we want to thank our producer, Brian, for getting us all out to you, doing a great job of spinning the dials. We want to thank Susan Buchanan of the Women's Western Golf Association for jumping in the Women's Western Amateur this week at Sunset Ridge, and there'll be some great competition there. We thank Rich Talk from Erin Hills Aaron Hills gearing up to host the 2022 USGA Mid-Amateur Great Championship. Last time it was played in the area was 10 years ago out at Conway Farms. And again, congratulations, speaking of Conway Farms, to their teaching pro, Jamie Fisher, who won a spot in the U.S. Senior Women's Open Field back in her hometown of Dayton at NCR Country Club at the end of August. And we'll have Nicole Giray and Audra Burks, also from Illinois, also out there in the field. Well, folks, it is supposed to get back up in the upper 80s or around 90 degrees, so warm weather this week for golf. On behalf of Bill Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zeem, have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the Open and go play.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.